of heights to the depths of the sea.
If this tells me that adultery is a sin, and my college professor says, no, it's not a sin. It's just you express, it's love, love. All you need is love. No. The Bible tells me that adultery is sin. And guess what? Yes, homosexuality is a sin. Along with fornication and adultery. It's all a sin. Stealing is a sin. God doesn't have his favorites.
All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Oh, powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we...
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teen radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Jesus deals with what they had heard regarding the law of adultery. Of course, the teachers of the day taught that adultery itself was wrong, but they applied the law only to the actions, not to the heart. Jesus explains that it is possible to commit adultery or murder in your heart or mind. And this also is sin and prohibited by the command against adultery. The act of adultery is far worse than the adultery in the heart. Jesus' point is not to say they are the same thing, but to say they are both sin and both prohibited by the command against adultery. Now let's join Pastor Rob's teaching already in progress.
In fact, if you look at the first four commandments, there are our relationship to God, and the last six commandments are our relationship toward man. And those things are important. And the law and the prophets pretty much is the whole entire word of God. See, on earth, when we are obedient and when we're faithful, we may get a job promotion, we may get a raise in salary, and certainly there's blessings in your home and in your relationships with your spouse and your children, but there's also rewards in heaven. And that may not mean like a big deal to you right now, but I assure you that when you are in glory, it is going to be a big deal to you. But the Bible tells us that there are rewards in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, says, "For we," notice he includes himself, "for we must all." That means, in the Greek, it's really wonderful what the word "all" means. You know what it means? It means all. Yeah, so, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat," or the bema seat. Have you ever heard of that term, bema seat? It's not a judgment of whether you're going to heaven or not, but as believers, we are also going to stand before God and give an account for what we have done while we've been saved, while we have Jesus in our heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, Paul says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But notice this, very important, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So that means that there's going to be people in heaven that have done nothing with their relationship. They get saved, they have fire insurance, and they're very happy, but they continue living their life like God doesn't exist. Now, if they're truly born again, they're going to go up. When they die, or if the rapture occurs, they're going to go to heaven. But their rewards, they're not going to have very many, if at all. I don't know about you, but I want everything he's got for me. Because with those rewards that I am given, I'm going to take them all and I'm going to place them all at his feet and say, "Lord, it's because you were working in me." And of course, he knows this. And that'll be worship, won't it? Just to say, "Lord, all the things that you've given me, I give back to you, because without you in me, none of this would be possible. In fact, I wouldn't even be here if you hadn't have done what you did." So all the glory goes to who? It goes to Jesus Christ. It goes to God. I can't touch it. I can't touch it. Neither would I want to. And I want you to exhort you to give all of your heart to the Lord, to give everything to him, and lay aside, as it tells us in Hebrews, every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you know that you're in a race? There is a race before us, and if you notice something, the older you get, the quicker time seems to go. Isn't it true? I've noticed this in my own life. When I was in my teens, it felt like time was just crawling along. Weeks would go by, and I'm like, wow, it feels like a year. Now, a week seems like a year. It just flies by, and I look, and I'm like, I had no idea. How old am I? I'm 90 years old already. Time is flying. It's just going like that. And those of you who are older know exactly what I'm talking about. But we need to run this race that is set before us. And we look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So living a life of obedience, live a life of obedience and purity. Do you desire righteousness? I hope that you do. I really desire righteousness. I'm tired. I've seen what my flesh can do. I've been around the block a few times. I understand what this old nature is up to and what it can do and what it's capable of. I'm really done with it. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. I'm not. I got a lot of work to do. The Lord's got a lot of work to do in me. But I want to live a life of obedience and purity. And I need to starve, and you need to starve and crucify those things in your life that are leading you away from Christ so that you can live the truly blessed life. The life that Christ wants to have for you. Notice in verse 20 back in our text, he says, "For I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And notice that verses 19 and 20 are speaking of believers and their response to God's commandments. Yes, his commandments. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. All these things, even in the New Testament, are very valid. It doesn't mean since we're born again that we can just go and do whatever we want. Oh, God will forgive me. Well, if that is your attitude, you've got a really warped sense of grace. Because grace is not licensed to continue in sin. No, grace is God forgiving you when you're being an idiot. And so when I deserve judgment, God says, well, and I confess it, he's free to forgive me. And he does when I confess. But to the disciples, this seemed like an impossibility because the scribes and the Pharisees were the high and mighty ones. They were the ones that everybody looked up to. But Jesus said something really interesting to his disciples. And he said to them in Matthew 23, he says, "Therefore, whoever will tell you," Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat, and therefore whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not." Meaning, they talk a lot of talk, but they don't do a lot of walking, what they're saying. And see, that is the difference between you and I. That's the difference between the walking as a Pharisee and walking according to the Lord, right? That's what he wants. God wants us to observe and to do and not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And many people do that. The Bible calls these people hypocrites. They're play actors. And we looked at that last week. Are you one of those people? Are you one of those people that is one way at church but a different way at home and a different person on the job site? Or is your life consistent? See, God wants to bring consistency in and through your lives. You know, who are you? It's a good question, because as we get into the next section in verses 21 through 30, as we look at murder and adultery, Jesus went beyond the outward expression and looked on the heart, on the internal. And remember, we even see this in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, remember when Samuel was speaking to Saul, he says, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." In other words, God would much rather have obedience than a bunch of bloody sacrifices. He would rather have obedience than sacrifice. Because we can go through the externals. Those are easy. Everybody can do that. You know, it's easy to go through the externals. And even Samuel got stuck in this when he went to Jesse's house, David's father, and God had told Saul or Samuel that he was to go to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons to be king in place of Saul. And remember, as he looked on, you know, Jesse had 8 sons, and 7 of them were there before him, and David, the young man, was out in the field tending the sheep. And when Samuel saw Eliab, who was the oldest, he thought, this is the guy. He's tall, dark, and handsome. He's got everything going for him. Lord, this must be the guy. This has to be the guy because he's the oldest, he's good looking. And what did the Lord tell him? He says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And God is always looking not at the externals, but he's looking at the heart. That's why Jesus would say the Pharisees, they did things to be seen by men. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 6, verse 5? He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. That sounds to me like God is more concerned about the internal than the external. It's always about the internal. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43, he says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush, but a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So again, it's the internal. What's happening inside here when it manifests itself, when it begins to express itself in the natural, that's where we find out really what's inside. Jesus said, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the man. And these are murders and evil thoughts and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile man. So how can our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? When he said that to the disciples, they were floored. How can that happen? Well, they focused on the law and the external, but the law was meant to be a tutor. It was meant to be a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In Galatians, it tells us, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. It was our tutor, our schoolmaster, that we might be justified by what? By our external works? No, but by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. In Romans, Paul tells us, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, notice that, to all and on who believe. Again, that's faith, isn't it? That's belief. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely, what? By his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation or as a substitute by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because of his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Notice it's faith. So where is boasting then? It is excluded by what? Law or works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Even Abraham, remember, as God gave him to the promises way back in the book of Genesis. This is not just a New Testament idea, it's an Old Testament one. In Genesis 15, remember when God gave him this covenant, which we know as the Abrahamic covenant, God says to them, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my household is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir. Heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And notice verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Because he believed on God before he even did anything, he believed what God had said. It is always about belief. It's always about the internal. So we exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees by faith in Jesus Christ, not with the outward things that we do, but by believing in the one who said to believe in him. And we do believe in him. Can't do it in the flesh. We're not capable of doing it in the flesh. That's why Philippians, it would tell us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. To work out what God has placed in. I can't earn it. Don't misunderstand that verse, because notice what the next verse says, for it is God who works in you. Yes, work it out, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So therefore, all I got to do is by faith let him live his life through me. Are you willing to do that? That means that I've got to be one with him. That means I got to stop fighting against him. That means that all the things that I've learned in college, in school, especially concerning morality, need to take a back seat, and I need to hold true to what this says. If this tells me that adultery is a sin, and my college professor says, no, it's not a sin, it's just you, it's love, love. All you need is love. No. The Bible tells me that adultery is sin, and guess what? Yes, homosexuality is a sin, along with fornication and adultery. It's all a sin. Stealing is a sin. God doesn't have his favorites. And church, we better be careful not to have our favorites either, because there's a world out there that thinks that we just hate homosexuals. And there are some people, if we're immature in Christ, we can go kind of off the edge a little bit. And we can give the appearance to people outside the church. They think, well, they're just a bunch of bigots. They just hate us. You know what? The real church, the true Christians, the true Bible-believing mature Christians are going to say, we love you. However, you need to come to Christ. You need to confess that as sin, because that's exactly what it is. We're not going to play games with you on that. You weren't born that way. God doesn't make things like that. I don't care what the PhD say. And I know why I can say that. I've got the authority of God, and they've got nothing. That's good enough for me. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, you're going to have a lot of problems. Spiritual problems. Because if this is not the final authority, because it is God's word, then anything else, what Fauci says or whatever anybody else says, is going to be your final authority. No, I'll go with God. Thank you very much. In my heart, I know it's the truth. In my heart of hearts, I know it's the truth. God made Adam and Eve. And he developed and instituted marriage between one man and one woman, not between two men, not between two women. God sees that as illegitimate. And I don't care how much they love each other, how much they cry and scream, they're going to fight against God. And if they do not repent, they're going to have a big problem. But see, it's the Lord's heart they will come to faith. They give their hearts to Christ. And those who have done are living wonderful lives now. They renounce those things, and now they're married and they have children. Is it because God hates them? No, he loves them. But love has to tell the truth. I have to tell the truth. If I say I'm going to love you, then I'd better tell you the truth. Even if you don't like it, even if you hate me for it, I must tell the truth. And in today we live in, folks, Christians, we have to tell the truth, but do it in love. But we must tell the truth. We can't lie to people anymore. Don't lie to people. That's the teeth of the gospel. The great news is that Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. Oh, that feels so wonderful. But you're a rotten sinner and you need to repent of your sin. That's the teeth. That God does not accept me just who I am in my sin. He accepts me in Christ. That's why I need to be born again. But it's by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they walk by sight and not by faith. And even said, Jesus said, you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, you Pharisees. You've neglected the weighty matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. And these you ought to have done, not without leaving the others undone. And so it's belief in God. And notice what he says. He goes on to verse 21 and he says, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, but whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. We know murder is a sin. Yes, murder is a sin. You shall not murder. It's the Exodus 20 verse 13. And just because we're saved by grace doesn't mean that we don't adhere to the law. No, that's just the very beginning. Those are just the externals. But now Jesus, have you noticed what he's doing in this passage? He's taking the externals and going, well, that's just the default. That's just the default. But I'm more concerned about what motivates you, what's really inside here, because those are the things. Because I might not commit adultery physically, I might not murder somebody physically, but I can do it in my heart, and I can have the adultery in my mind, even though I haven't committed the act. And see the difference? Every one of us could say, well, I've never done those things. God has to accept me. And he's like, got a problem. Remember when you were driving down the beach in your fancy red sports car with the hood down and all these ladies are walking along, jogging with their AirPods in their ears? And what did you do that day? I almost got in an accident. Well, why was that? Because your eyes weren't on the road. Your eyes were all over everything else. Adultery in the heart and the mind. And God doesn't flirt with sin. So it's all about the heart. And we disclose the truth of what is in our heart by when we speak, we show forth what's really consuming us, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So hang out and chat with somebody for a little while and you find out where their treasure truly lies and where their heart is really at. But he goes on, he says, but I say to you that whoever is angry without a cause, and this phrase without a cause is not in many of the Greek manuscripts. So you could literally say, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council, excuse me, which is the Sanhedrin. But whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell.
That's the end of our lesson for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today, and if any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.